If you would, go ahead, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Tonight's message I titled, Serving with the Right Heart. Serving with the Right Heart. We're looking at verses 16 through 21 in Ephesians chapter 3. So what does it mean to serve? What does it mean to serve? I think if we asked everybody here tonight, we'd have all sorts of different kind of definitions for the word serve. If you looked it up on Webster's, the official definition is, I always love it when dictionaries do this. What does it mean to serve? To be a servant. You know? They define it with the same word. Doesn't help you out that much, does it? Now, it means to be a servant or to do military service. You serve in the military, we say. It can be simply to be of use. It could be to help people with food, as in serving tables or waiting on tables. It could also be used to put a ball into play, you know, like volleyball, serve, or tennis. I can't play tennis for the life of me, so I probably couldn't serve anything in tennis. Yeah, it could also just simply mean to assist. Now, all of these definitions, all right, have one thing in common, and that's they all revolve around you doing something for someone else. Every single one of those definitions, the idea is you doing something for someone else. I mean, even in tennis, what are you doing? You're serving the ball to them, right? You're doing something for someone else. And that's really at the heart of serving. I mean, if you're not doing something for someone else, you really can't call it serving, can you? Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 13. He said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty," that's freedom, "only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." By love serve one another. That Greek word he used there for serve means to be a slave. To be a slave. Now that's exactly what we think the word means. What do slaves do? They do the work for someone else. For someone else. And listen, there's all sorts of different ways that you can serve. You can maybe help a neighbor in need, okay? Maybe you know of somebody in your neighborhood that has a need and you go out of your way to help them. You can serve here at the church. We've got so many different ways to serve. We had VBS not too long ago, and we've got people who come and clean. I think about Miss Gerda Register, who just faithfully for years would come in here and clean the pews. I think about last night. Last night we had our first night of our new college ministry that we call the Mug or Coffee House Fellowship Night. We had a great night. We had 22 college and career students and people come on out and enjoy that Bible discussion and get involved in that. And it was great because I got a good handful of people that come out and spend their days every time just helping prepare for that ministry. I couldn't do it alone. I can't teach and make coffee and sing and do all that at the same time. I wouldn't last too long. So I'm thankful for the servants that are out there. Hey, I think about this little ministry that we have coming up. It's right around the corner. This little ministry we do here during Christmas called Walk Through Bethlehem, right? What a great opportunity to serve there. You know, it only takes about 400 volunteers. It's a little ministry here that we do. Yeah, what a great opportunity to serve, Walk Through Bethlehem. But listen, what's important, though, isn't necessarily the idea of just serving. Anyone can serve. Anyone can go out and do things for someone else. What's truly important is not that you serve, but when you do serve, how do you do it? What's the motivation behind your service? Listen, you can serve with a bad, selfish attitude in which you'll ultimately just cause trouble for yourself and others down the road. Or you can serve with a humble attitude, seeking the benefit of others. Whatever your area of service may be, what we're going to see tonight is, if we're going to serve, how can we serve with the right heart? How can we serve with the right heart? And I think we got some great insight in how to do this here in Ephesians chapter 3. So look down at Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at verses 16 through 21. Paul writes here to the Ephesians, he says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for tonight, this opportunity to come together with our church family and Lord, just worship you and seek your truth. Lord, I pray that we just have our hearts ready and prepared to receive your word tonight. Lord, use me mightily to share your truth. I pray to be filled with the Spirit, just come before you with humility, sharing your truth and not my own, Lord. We need your wisdom to guide us. And so, Lord, help us to take your word seriously. Lord, help us to take the principles we learned tonight and get them into our heart, Lord, and put them into practice. Lord, help us to truly just seek you and to glorify you in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So how can you serve with the right heart? How are you going to put that into practice? Well, the first way is by resting in the strength that God provides. You need to be resting in the strength that God provides. Verse 16 here in Ephesians says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Listen, truly serving the Lord with the right heart involves sacrifice. It involves sacrifice. I preached on that about a month ago, I think on a Sunday night, talking about sacrifice to serve. We looked at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The whole idea behind serving is sacrifice. And listen, it's not always easy becoming that sacrifice that God wants us to be. Many times our own abilities get in the way. We rest on our own abilities and our own power, and all that's going to happen down the road is eventually we're going to stumble. And then when we stumble, we fall into the trap of self-pity. And then we start finding excuses not to serve. We get going good for a while. We're resting in our natural talents. We're resting in our own strength. And then we have a little hiccup in our service. Maybe things don't go right. Maybe we drop the ball. And then the bottom lip comes out, right? The little pouty lip that comes out, you know? You know, you got little kids, you see that all the time. Little pouty lip. You know, we correct our kids, Sean and I, and then that lip. You know? And listen, we do that too. If we were all honest, adults get that pouty lip too. Woe's me, I messed up, things are going well. I might as well just quit. And that's kind of the attitude sometimes that we take, when we're not really resting in the right strength. Listen, God says that it's reasonable for us to sacrifice, but a lot of times the flesh gets in the way. And that's what makes this first principle so important. Truly serving with the right heart isn't about trusting in the strength you can demonstrate, but the strength that God can demonstrate through you. God's strength, resting in that, is all about setting ourselves aside and looking to the only strength that will sustain you through whatever comes your way. Paul here, remember in verse 16, where does he say we should be strengthened? He said to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit. And that's capital S. That means the Holy Spirit. The true source of strength for serving with the right heart comes from God through the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit moves in our life, as we yield to him, that's how God's strength just works through us. Listen, it's an inner strength. It's an inner drive fueled by God to serve. It's not a matter of picking ourselves up by our bootstraps or doing it through our own effort. It's trusting in his strength. Listen, it's not the ability to leap tall buildings with a single bound, okay? As great as that would be, wouldn't that be cool? Being able to just, whew, right? You're all over the church. Or going really fast or stopping bullets with your teeth, right? That's not what it's about, and please, I don't suggest doing that. Don't be going home going, hey, Pastor Shan said, trust in God's strength. Lord, I'm going to catch this bullet. You know, don't do it. That's not what I'm suggesting. It's an inner strength, okay? It's an inner strength. It's not a strength to help you lift cars. But it's a strength that helps you endure struggles of the heart. A strength that sustains you through the heavy blows of failure, trials, or temptations. That's the kind of strength that God is talking about. That's the kind of strength that will sustain you through no matter what you do in service to him. Think about what Paul went through. Shipwrecked, beaten. I mean, he was dragged out of a city, stoned, and what did he do afterwards? Knocked the dust off him and went right back in. Let me tell you what, I think most of us, after getting down to the ground stoned, near to death, we'd walk home. We'd be like, I ain't going back in there. You kidding? How was he able to do that? What was God's strength? Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's what God's strength will do. That's what his glory power will do in your life. It'll help you endure through all the temptations and the struggles, and you'll be able to do it filled with joy. Filled with joy. Listen, sitting there going, oh, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm going through this. This is just a mess. Why doesn't God just take this away? I guess someday it'll be fine. Okay, that ain't resting in God's strength filled with joy, okay? If that's joy, I want to redefine your definition of joy. No, it's when you're facing troubles, you can still know in your heart that God is going to sustain you through. You know that it's not going to last forever, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to make it through because God will sustain you. Hold your place here. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to see another example of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verses 14 through 18. Paul writes to the Corinthians here, he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Here's the key. Verse 16. For which cause we what? Faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. You catch that? Faint not. That means when the trouble comes, you don't quit. You don't quit. You don't pack your bags and leave. but you stay in the race. Because even though your outward man is tired and beaten and weary and ready to give up, God strengthens your inner man, and it's renewed day by day, day by day. He goes on to say, for our light affliction. Paul, you were stoned. It's a light affliction. It's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, Paul knew what was coming. He knew what all this service was all about. It wasn't about the praises down here, but the praises in eternity. He saw the bigger picture. And so everything he endured down here, he called a light affliction. He says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, folks, the things down here, the physical things here, are temporary. Don't put your hope in your own abilities. They're only temporary. They'll only last you so long. Listen, because of Christ in us and God's amazing grace, Paul says that we can faint not. Because our inward man is renewed day by day. You can go back to Ephesians chapter 3. God's desire here is for you to find your source of strength in Him and Him alone. Not in yourself. Not in your own abilities. Listen, one of the problems with trusting in your own strength, okay, is that it's made of the flesh. And we know that in the flesh, Paul says in Romans 7, dwelleth no good thing. Remember, Paul just said the physical things, the things you can see, are temporary. It's only going to last so long. I can trust in my strength, but my strength will eventually fail. Listen, I think about 20 years ago when I was in the Marine Corps, I used to be able to run 3 miles in 18, 19 minutes. I could book it. Man, I could do that. I could come back, do 20 pull-ups, do 100 sit-ups, and do that with only 2 hours of sleep over a course of 3 days. It's like nothing. Be like, yeah, I'm tough. You know, now I do 40 minutes on the elliptical, and I need the icy hot and a nap. It fails. You know, I could maybe do 3 miles in 3 days. I can't do no 18 minutes anymore. If I did that in 18 minutes now, you'd need a new singles pastor. Yeah, listen, your own strength is made of the flesh, and Paul says it's temporary. It's temporary. But he says his strength, God's strength, is mighty. It's mighty. It's only through God's strength that you will faint not. And if you really want to serve Him with the right heart, you got to trust in His strength. Don't trust in your flesh. Don't trust in your neighbor's flesh either. If you can't get yourself to go 3 miles, your neighbor ain't going to help you either. He's going to be like, you're crazy. I'm going to go get a pizza. Now the flesh will fail. Listen, you can serve with the right heart, but it begins with resting in God's strength. The next principle, how are you going to serve with the right heart? Well, by allowing love to guide your heart. You got to allow love to guide your heart. Look at verses 17 through 19 in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul continues on. He says that Christ may dwell in your what? Hearts by faith. And ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Not only is it important to serve resting in the strength that comes from God, But it's just as important to serve guided by love. Ephesians 3:17 states that you should be rooted and grounded in love. You should have your stability in love. You should get your source of strength through God and through the love of Christ. You know, a tree gets its sustenance through its roots. And it needs that water and all those nutrients through the soil. God's telling us we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Love needs to fuel us. Love needs to drive us on. Without love guiding your heart, your service can become tainted with bitterness, regret, and frustration. This is because to truly serve, you must be serving people. And people don't always cooperate. Anybody know that? Right? Anybody have everybody cooperate with them? They've never had anyone. I think we've all had to deal with that. Why? Because we're all different. We have different views, different likes, different preferences. But it can be frustrating with people. Right? That's why I introduced this guy last year. Remember this guy? Gumby. I was talking about Walk Through Bethlehem last year. And I said in the Marine Corps, we got two mottos. We have Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. And then we've got the one that everybody else, you know, most people don't know about, and that's Semper Gumby. Like, what? Means always flexible. See, Gumby, you can bend him in all sorts of crazy things, right? He's flexible. What's the point? Because you're not going to get along well with everyone, and not everyone's going to cooperate. But if you allow frustrations and aggravation get the best of you, you're not going to be serving the Lord. You're going to be serving self. Okay? You got to be able to bend like Gumby. Not actually. Okay? Don't be trying to do all this, you know, craziness. People may look at you strange. But you got to be willing to go, you know what? Maybe I don't know their full story. Maybe I don't know their full story. Maybe I should have a little flexibility and take the time to get to know them. Listen, what's important to understand is just like serving. Anybody can serve. It's not necessarily serving, it's how you serve. Oh, you can put on the show of love. But what kind of love are you really showing? We get some insight into the kind of love. In verse 19, Paul says, "And to know the love of Christ." To know the love of Christ. Listen, how can we demonstrate that great motto, Semper Gumby, always flexible? Because we're filled with the love of Christ. Listen, did Christ love us because we were wonderful and good? No, not at all. Not at all. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Listen, the love of Christ is a sacrificial love. It's a realization that, you know what? They're sinners. What they really deserve is death. Eternal separation because of their sin in the lake of fire. That's what they deserve. But God said, no, I'm going to demonstrate love. And so he sent his son. And listen, his son didn't go to the cross for people that loved him. They didn't throw a party for him as they were taking him to Calvary. They spat on him. They humiliated him. They tore his clothes off. They beat him to near death. And they had him slowly suffocate on the cross. An excruciating death. And he did it willingly in a demonstration of love. So that on that wonderful day when he rose on the third day and he finally defeated death, he can now offer that same life to everyone who will believe. That's love. That's love. And that's the type of love that he wants us to show others. That's the type of love that we need to be demonstrating in every area that we serve. Listen, the love of Christ is a sacrificial love. It's offering yourself in order for another's benefit. It has nothing to do with me. It's always for someone else. Listen, Christ went to the cross for others. This idea of service is, what can I do for someone else? How can I sacrifice for another's benefit? There's all sorts of things that you can do. I mentioned earlier, maybe it's helping that neighbor. You know, maybe the neighbor's got a terminal illness. And you go, you know what? My grass hasn't been mowed. It needs to. I'm going to let it go another month so that I can take care of their yard. I'll get the notice from the city. You know? But you know what? If I can help them out in this time of need, maybe I'll let my house go a little bit so that theirs can be clean. Maybe it's going that extra hour at Walk Through Bethlehem. Now I normally just do the morning shift or the first shift. No, I'm not adding. We're not doing mornings on Walk Through Bethlehem. I saw everybody going, slip of the tongue. Maybe I normally do the first shift, but you know what? I'm going to do them all. You know? Why would I do that? Well, last year we had 3,000 people come through Walk Through Bethlehem that marked on their census card, no church home. These are people that are not connected, very possibly not connected with Christ. And that extra hour of service that you do, you may be the person that gets them connected. I'm willing to sacrifice 3 hours of a weekend so that another person can come into the family of God. That's the idea. The idea of service with the love of Christ is giving of yourself for someone else's benefit. Paul put it this way in a really neat way. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Think about that. Loving your neighbor, loving others, giving of yourself for another's benefit, Paul says, is fulfilling of the law. Isn't that awesome? You can fulfill the law by loving others, having that heart to serve. And listen, it can be difficult when it comes to people to demonstrate love. It can be very difficult. I was at Walmart the other day. Shauna was running in to get some stuff. It was right before the mug. We're on the time. I'm like, we got to get moving. Or no, it was Freedom Found, Monday. So I'm driving around. The routine is I drop her off, she rushes in because I slow her down. So she goes in there, and I drive around the parking lot. And it's kind of fun because then I get to watch people. And then God gets to, you know, test me with my patience. Because I'm pulling up to the front, and there's three cars ahead of me, and a guy pulls in a big old SUV and pulls into the lane right in the middle. So you can't pass them on either side. And as he's coming in, a person pulls out not looking from the handicap. But they pull out pointing right at the SUV. So now they're both looking at each other and neither of them can move. So we're stuck. And one's inching one way and the other one's backing up and moving forward and we're sitting there and no one's getting anywhere. And I can feel, you know? And then there's the conviction. Patience. Patience. Let's just pray for him instead. And it was amazing. I started praying for him, and then a guy came out, and he's like, looks at him, puts his bags down, and starts directing him. I don't know if he was a traffic cop or what, but he was doing a good job. Next thing you know, everything's clear, and on we go. You know, it can be aggravating. It can be frustrating. I know. But listen, we put up with it anyways. Listen, if Christ can endure the cross, I can endure someone who can't drive in a parking lot of Walmart. And that's the type of heart that we need to exhibit as we serve in everything that we do, realizing that Jesus gave it all so that we can have eternal life. I can give it all so someone can have the opportunity to make that choice themselves. The last point is, how do you serve with the right heart? Well, you trust in God's strength, and you serve guided by love. And the last point is by desiring for God to get all the glory. You need to have a desire for that no matter whatever it is you do, it should be for God's glory. And listen, everyone likes a good pat on the back. We do. Come on, let's admit it. Nothing wrong, a little pat on the back every once in a while. Good job. We like it. Helps us, you know, makes us feel good. There's nothing wrong with being recognized for accomplishments here and there. But listen, making that transition from acknowledging God working in your life to resting back into your own talents and your own strength can happen very subtly, very slowly over time, and very unaware to where you're going from, you know what, I'm just glad to have served. I don't need the pat on the back. To, why are they getting a certificate? How come we're giving them a gift card? I served. You know? Next thing you know, you're serving great. Next thing you know, that pouty lip comes back out. Why? Because you got your focus off of where it needed to be. You started focusing back on you. The glory needs to be for me when it should be for God. And it can happen very subtly. Nobody, I think, wakes up the next day going, "Woo, I'm going to be prideful. Everything's about me." If so, I'd be glad to sit down and chat with you. No, it happens over time. Listen, pride and selfishness find their root in wrong thinking that slowly builds over time. And then when you don't get that pat on the back, that recognition up on the platform, you become bitter. You start mumbling inside and grumbling. And then that bitterness leads to anger. And then you start getting all hot and fired up, turning red-faced, maybe storming out. And that anger then leads to gossip and evil speaking, the Bible says. You start sharing your poison with others. And then you've got deep trouble. Paul gave an example of this in Romans chapter 16. Verses 17 through 18, he writes, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned." Mark them, be aware of them, those that are causing divisions and offenses that are contrary to what you've learned. He says, "Avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ." And here's the key, but their own belly. They serve their own needs, their own good. They want to line their pockets. They're thinking only about themselves. How does Paul describe them? They cause division and offenses. And listen, that starts with pride and bitterness. He says about them, he says, "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Many times they won't just say, "I'm mad because they're not recognizing me." They'll be like, "Oh, you know, I'm just concerned. There's something I'm just worried about, and oh, I just can't hold on to it anymore. Let me tell you about it. We could pray about it together." Next thing you know, it's spewed and it's moving. Right, because they're focused on their own selves and not God's glory. Not God's glory. Paul says, watch out for them. All they're looking for is to fill their own belly. Pride tells you that you are the source of success, that you deserve the glory, But Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:21 that God deserves the glory. He says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So why does God deserve all the glory? Well, really, why? Because it should be his strength that's doing all the work. It should be his love flowing through you. It's God that accomplishes the work in you. Ephesians 3:20, back up, just one verse, says, "Now unto him," talking about God, says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Listen, it's a result of God's mighty accomplishments in our lives. He'll do the work. And you know, that's the funny thing that we read here. We try and trust in our own abilities, and we think we're so great, but what does Paul say about God's strength? It says that it is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. You see, when we trust in our own abilities, we're actually limiting our ability to serve. We can only go so far, but it's God that does the mighty work. It's God that takes us beyond. It's God that helps us step outside of our comfort zone. And as a result, he deserves all the glory. It's God that we should be getting the certificate to. It's God that deserves the gift card. It's God that deserves the credit. Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. It's Christ's name that every knee is going to bow to. It's not my name, I can tell you that. It's Christ's name. It says, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Why? To the glory of God the Father. It's all about giving God the glory. Listen, our hope, our goal in serving the Lord is not so that the world can see how great we are, but to see how amazing God is. You know, I think about Walk Through Bethlehem. The whole point of Walk Through Bethlehem isn't so that the community knows how awesome Crossroads is at acting and recreating the city and all that. No. If that's what they're coming out saying, then we need to quit doing it. Or we need to really search our hearts and find out what the true motivation is. They should be leaving here saying, "Praise God, how awesome he is for that wonderful night." Our goal should be for God to get all the credit. The pat on the back is nice, but it shouldn't be at the expense of God's glory. Our key verse for the mug is 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Everything we do should be so that God gets all the credit. God gets all the credit. When God gets the glory, the gospel gets an opportunity to reach those that need it. Those that have not accepted Christ get to see Christ through you. That's the whole point. And the desire is that they will then see Christ in you and want to know more about him. And as they seek to know more about Christ, that's how they get the good news. They trust it. Now they have that wonderful eternal life. Paul demonstrated that with his thorn in the flesh. He wanted it gone. But Christ said, "No, my grace is sufficient." Paul said, "Then great, I'm going to glory." Why? Because God's strength then is made manifest. In other words, people will see Christ sustaining me through this struggle. And when they go, "Paul, how can you do it?" Paul can say, "Jesus Christ." The glory goes to God. Listen, don't look for your own glory. Seek for Christ to be magnified in your life through your service unto him. Don't let bitterness rule in your heart, but allow God's grace to demonstrate his power in your service. In conclusion, it can be difficult to serve people sometimes. And many times when you serve, you get tired, you get frustrated, a little irritated. And listen, there may have been times that you feel like you want to quit. But I want to encourage you to not give up.
Remember, Paul said, faint not. Faint not. Your weariness may be simply that. You need a nap. Really, I'm serious. A lot of times we get all mopey and all messed up, but it's just, you know what, take a nap, take an extra nap. But sometimes it's pride starting to creep into your heart. It's pride. But the cool thing is, remember, Christ has made us free. You can deal with that pride issue. Stay the course, trusting Christ to strengthen you. And one thing to keep in mind is that if you serve with the right heart, resting in God's strength, everything you do will not be in vain. My favorite verse, passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58, says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. We've won the battle already in Christ. Paul then says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, you don't need a certificate to tell you that you did a good job. You don't need a gift card or a pat on the back. All it takes is just resting in the fact that you served Him with all your heart, focused on giving Him the glory, resting in His strength, with Christ's love flowing through you. And you know that you've got a day of glory waiting for you. You already have your reward. And He'll sustain you through every bit of the way. Stay the course and serve the Lord with the right heart. Let's pray.